I'd like to speak to you this morning about living the resurrected life. As we look at this passage this morning, we are no doubt taken by the familiarity of it. That is, if you have read the Scriptures much at all, if you know of the resurrection of the Savior and of the account which is given here and in each of the Gospels, you recognize that this passage is one which is quite familiar to you. Yet you must also realize of the great importance of the passage as it speaks of the resurrected Savior, and as it speaks also of those disciples who came that particular morning, especially the women as they came early in the morning to anoint the body of Jesus, and they came believing in Jesus Christ as their true Savior. They came that morning also with some great amazement, as we read, and surprise as to the situation in which they found. That is, that they found the tomb open. That they were met by an angel of God, whose radiance was as lightning. That is, very bright. That he had a particular radiance about him as one who was of God and from God, a messenger of God, and that he wore white raiment, and that he stood apart from all other people in that he gave this wonderful message that Jesus had risen from the grave, even as he had said. Now today, as we come and celebrate the resurrection of our Savior, we come also with a sense of belief in these very same truths, especially if you have made a commitment to Christ. If you have also believed upon the Lord as your Savior, if you have also taken Him knowing that He is that one who died for your sins according to the Scriptures, then you come in fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I would trust and pray that you would want to live the resurrected life. That is, you would want to live a life that is changed. When we think of resurrection, we believe that Jesus Christ died and was buried and arose again the third day. That is, a body which became lifeless from being crucified upon the cross by certain cruel pains and torments and sufferings, and a spear driven through his side, where also blood and water gushed forth, where he himself cried out, "It is finished," and he went there to do the very work of God the Father, that is, to complete the work of redemption. We recognize that that great work of redemption was on our behalf, even as the Scripture says of Him that God so loved the world and gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The only way to bring that to full fruition was for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to die for the sins of the world. And as a believer this morning, I trust you come in fellowship of those things. But I would also like to encourage you, if I may, in these areas. First of all, to live the resurrected life means that we must live with a changed heart. We must live with a changed heart. Let us look at verse 5 just for a moment. "And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus who was crucified." I'd like to say to you that the women came that morning seeking Jesus. They knew Him from being with Him. They met with Him often. They ate meals with Him. They often traveled with Him. The disciples were very much companions of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter and James and John went to the garden of prayer and in Gethsemane and were with Jesus as even as He was praying in great anguish and great pain for the sins that He would suffer, that is for the torment that he would put upon his own body for the sins of the world. And yet they came seeking Jesus. Did they only come to anoint the body of Christ? Did they not know of those things of which he had told them concerning his life and ministry and what it meant to know the kingdom of God and that he himself was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world? Mary herself saying that he was the Christ. Even in her own home when she and Martha were about doing the things that they were doing at the time of grieving concerning Lazarus, we find that she admitted that he was the Christ. Peter also acknowledged that he was the Christ. Nathanael also acknowledged that he was the Christ. And yet they came seeking Jesus. I'd like to suggest to you that as Christians, as believers, if we're going to live a changed life, we must come seeking Jesus. You see, as we come seeking Jesus, God will reveal him to us as he truly is. Now, God had sent an angel that morning to reveal to the women who Jesus really was. They had heard everything before time concerning the Christ. Now they came to the tomb, and it was here at the tomb that the full revelation of Jesus would be made known to them. The full reality that he was truly victorious over sin and over death itself. They came seeking Jesus. And if you and I are going to have a changed life, though we might know it in our head, it will not become a reality until we know it in our heart. As we come seeking Jesus, God has to reveal it to our heart. You've heard all these things before. You've read them yourself. You've studied them. But I would say to you, you must know them from the heart, or you will not really know them. They came seeking Jesus, and the angel gave them such information, such revelation, if you will, that he became more real to them than they ever imagined. And so that is the very crux of the matter. What is the revelation that God has given to you? Have you only read it for yourself and taken it to your heart in your head? Or have you truly come to God and that he has revealed it to you in such a way as your heart has been truly impacted? In verse 6, he is not here, he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Verse 5, they were coming to seek Jesus. And now we find that they are instructed to come see the place where the Lord lay. Secondly, I would say to you, if you were to have a changed heart, you must come see where the Lord lay. That is, there must be some manifest evidence that you must consider. When they went to the tomb and they saw the tomb that was open, even as the angel said it was opened, and that Jesus had been resurrected, now he instructs them to come to the tomb and see. There is a manifest evidence which we require as human beings, that we want to see some evidence. Part of apologetics is said to be evidential. That is, we long to have something substantial. Yes, we believe by faith, but at the same time, we look for something evidential. And as they came that morning, we find that the angel guided them to the very tomb and said, come, see where the Lord lay. It became an evidence to them that the Lord was not there, and that the very words that the angel gave to them was true. you will have to come to Jesus to find the evidence you are seeking. You will have to come to Jesus. He will give it to you. It will not be the kind of evidence, perhaps, that you were looking for. They didn't find much in the tomb except the napkins that were laid to one side and that Jesus was not there. But because the angel instructed them and the revelation was from God, it was sufficient. I would like to say to you that you will find the revelation of God sufficient evidence for your faith. You will find the revelation of God sufficient evidence for your faith. Don't look to other things. Look to what God tells you. Look to what His Word says. That is evidence enough. And if you will look to that, you will see and you will know, and it will change your life. In verse 7, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." Here in this verse, we see that a changed heart means that you must go and tell others that he is risen. You must go and tell others. And that is what they are told to do. Go quickly and tell his disciples. The women were to, after they had been told those things by the angels, angel after the angel had taken them to the tomb and they had seen for themselves the manifest evidence of his absence and of him being resurrected, now the angel tells them, go and tell others. Go and tell the disciples. The other disciples. You see, this also indicates a change of heart in our lives. That we are a part of those who go and tell others. We must tell others. We must tell them about Jesus. Telling them about the Easter Bunny won't work. It is not sufficient. Telling them that they can have a nice holiday on such a day as today is not sufficient. Telling them that once a year they can go to such a building as this where others meet to celebrate a religious day is not sufficient. They must know Jesus. Even as Mary and the other disciples knew him, they must know him. And I would suggest to you that we must have such a changed heart as to tell others that Jesus has risen. And it is true, then, that this life which we have in Christ is one which has been changed by these very things. By seeking the Lord, by coming unto him to receive that manifest evidence from his word, by realizing that we are compelled to go and tell others. We're to take the good news of Jesus Christ unto others. The euangelion of the scriptures is the good news, the gospel, and that is the very heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ. That gospel, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior. Secondly, living the resurrected life means that we are to live with a determined change of mind. A determined change of mind. Let us read on just a bit, verse 8 and 9. "And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet, and they worshipped him." Now that they had received this information, they were determined to go and to be a part of this wonderful news and to carry the message forward. They did go with great fear, but also with joy at the same time. Now, what does this mean? Well, primarily, I think it is saying that as much as they were joyful about these things, they were in amazement of these things. They perhaps had many questions. They perhaps thought, what now? Where is the Lord then if He is risen? And how are we going to come together unto our Lord as we once were? And of the great amazement of this, that the message and the joy of it was truly striking upon their hearts. Living the resurrected life then means that we are to live with a determined change of mind. There was no turning back. They couldn't turn back. Now that they knew these things, they must move forward. The angel had given them such revelation that they had never imagined. They had seen for themselves that Jesus was not in the tomb. And that we find Jesus Himself would talk to them, would encounter them. Even as it says in verse 9, Jesus met them saying, "All hail," and they came and held Him by the feet, and they worshipped Him. And you may remember that in one of the accounts, Mary is said to have seen a man in the garden where she was near unto the tomb after the resurrection, and she wondered who he was and thought perhaps, well, he is someone who is a caretaker of this grove where Jesus has been buried. And she comes toward him, and Jesus reveals himself to her, and she says, "Rabboni." She calls him Master, and then she falls at his feet and worships him. If we're to have a change in our lives, then it must be a determined change. It cannot be a passive change. It cannot be just one that is without regard. No, it must be a determined change. In other words, we must set our mind toward Christ. If we are to know Him, to seek Him, to come unto Him, to live with such a desire for Him, then it must be a determined thing. After all, we do have a will, do we not? And so it is that the disciples very quickly were to learn that they must have a true heart for God, for Jesus Christ. For the resurrected Christ, they must go and tell. They must carry out those very things which Jesus had instructed them. A change of mind then means that if we are to live the resurrected life, we must do so without doubt and with a determined mind and intellect. But so look down just a bit further here to verse 17. "And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." They worshipped him. There was part of them worshipped him, part of them doubted. Now, if we're to truly know the Lord, we cannot doubt. Doubt will only cause us to go backward in our belief. It will only cause us to be diminished in our faith. It will only cause us to slacken our resolve. But once the Lord has been revealed to us, we must have a determined heart to follow the Lord, to not go back, and to follow through, to worship Him, even as we know that we should worship Him because He is the Son of God. He has been revealed to us as such. Verse 18, "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." And now we see that this determined sense of mind and heart toward Christ would lead them to a true purpose as being disciples of Christ. They would have a purpose that they must fulfill. And so in this sense, the change of mind means that we're to go forth with wisdom and instruction of the Master. With wisdom and instruction. What is the wisdom God gives? As he says in verse 18, that he himself is authority and power. That is, in the gospel of Christ, is authority and power. For instance, when the gospel is preached, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, should we do it in doubt? No, we should do it in true faith. When we preach the gospel of Christ, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, should we do it without regard to the truth of what is being said, that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures? No, we should do it with all belief. We should do it knowing that this, in fact, is the truth of the Word of God, the grace and truth of the Word of God, that anyone who will accept Jesus, knowing Him as Savior and Lord, shall also be able to call upon the Lord and know that their sins are forgiven, because Jesus came to die for the sins of the world. In other words, the determination of our faith is that we teach it without apology, in the sense we don't in any way apologize for these truths. We teach in wisdom. We teach with instruction from the Lord. The Lord has told us what to do. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." In other words, in my name, Jesus said, you can do these things. Verse 19, go, he says. Go, teach, baptize. These were the things that the church, the early church, was to be doing. They were to go and to tell. They were to teach those things of Christ. They were to baptize in His name. Baptizing unto repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as John had come baptizing unto repentance that the kingdom of God was at hand, now the disciples were to go forth and to teach and to baptize unto repentance in the name of Jesus Christ, for He had come to die for the sins of the world. But as many as believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, He gave the power or the authority to be called the sons of God. You see, we should have a determined heart. Our heart should be changed to that extent. And then in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world or age. Indicating that that period of time from the time of the cross to the end of the world or the end of the age, as it were, the church age, this message of the gospel of Christ was to be proclaimed. They were to go and they were to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. They were to teach or instruct. They were to baptize in the name of Jesus and so make disciples of others. And they were to do this in such authority that the name of Jesus was to be used. Not in their own authority. Paul says, "I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius," as he told the Corinthian church. We are of Jesus. And Jesus would have us to go forward in the authority of Jesus and to do the work of Jesus. And moreover, He would have us to live daily in the name of Jesus. Thirdly, living the resurrected life means that we must walk as Jesus walked. Let's back up just a bit to verse 10. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." And so we find that part of the walk of those who have a heart and a mind for Christ is they must not be afraid. He says, "Be not afraid." Jesus didn't go around doing what He did in fear. No, He went around in great faith. He was sent to to tell these things unto his own disciples and to teach them, and himself to drink that cup of suffering that he was to suffer for the sins of the world. And though he had great sufferings of those things, yet he was not afraid, but rather he was of great faith to do those things that God required of him. Why should we be afraid of being known as Christians? Why should we be afraid as being known as believers? Why should we be afraid that others, whether it be our co-workers or our friends or our neighbors, say, well, he's a Christian. He's a believer. Why should we be afraid that they know that? Should not we be very much pleased to name the name of Christ and to live the life of Christ and to live as believers? In other words, there is no casual, passive change of mind when it comes to following Christ. No. There is a real and determined and actual change of mind and heart and life when it comes to following Christ. And that's what we must be. And remember, Jesus knew this, that he must encourage his disciples. He realized the infirmity of our nature, that we need this encouragement. Mary needed the encouragement when she came to the tomb that morning. The disciples needed the encouragement that they might believe on the Lord. Later, when Jesus met the disciples in the upper chamber, we find that some of them doubted him, especially Thomas, and he needed more encouragement. In our own flesh, we are weak. In our own mind, we doubt. In our own hearts, we are sometimes timid. But objectively, we know what we need to do. We need to live true to what we have been taught in the Word of God. And we will have to ask the Lord to help us with that. The Lord says, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren. And they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Also, we find that we must be sure of our walk, that it is true. Look at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Where Jesus had appointed them. Well, Jesus had told them before that he would meet them there. And now we find that if they were to be true to the Lord, then they must follow through. They must go where Jesus had instructed them. And we also the same. We must heed the instructions of the Lord. If we are going to be true to exercise our faith, our true heart, our true emotion, our true will for God, then we must go move forward. We must carry through with what God has instructed us in his word. We must not be unfaithful in those things. And then lastly here, as we look at verse 17 through the end of the chapter, which we have already read, we realize that as they did meet the Lord Jesus Christ, as they did acknowledge him, he began to instruct them and to teach them and to show them how they were to go forward as being disciples, how they were to live that changed life, how they were to, in reality, prove themselves as being disciples. And so it is also that if we would live the resurrected life, we must live that life which is a life of walking with Jesus, heeding his instructions, listening to his word, being true to what he tells us, and living that life wherein we are known as being the disciples of Christ, believers, Christians, those who love the Lord and serve him. Let us bow together in prayer. Loving Father, we thank you for these thoughts this morning. Lord, we are reminded of them, and we are very much taken by them, that we would refresh them and revive them in our hearts, knowing, Lord, that as we do, we shall feel a true sense of the presence of Jesus with us. For we know that your Holy Spirit and the faith which you give to us to walk in faith and to live the very Word of God out in our lives is that which is by the Spirit of God. And so we ask that you will infuse that Spirit of God into us, that we may exercise our heart and our mind for Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.